Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, having not done this introduction in several months of summer time off. He's the number one fuckboy, standing 6'2", 287 pounds. He's dropping, baby, from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. He's dumpy and obnoxious. He's the host of High and Mighty. It's Johnny G. Also joining me in the studio is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. He's actually in the living room because my wife works from home now and likes her more. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, longtime friends, first-time visitors, we got from the Dark Weed Podcast, Cody Zig Ziglar and Brody Reed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Do you want to take a nap? Do you want to sit down? Like I'm sweating for you.
It is not cold in my... It is not that hot in my room, but I put on the AC before I started this record because...
He's in the rafters. Yeah.
Also, I noticed in that moment that both of you have very much wrestlers' names. When I was like screaming you have like jobber names. Cody Ziegler and Brody Reed. They call themselves the Dark Weeb. And you guys are like getting murked by the Rockers or whatever.
Yeah, we're on the road for 300 days out of the year. But, you know, we love the art. We love the craft. Yeah.
Addicted to painkillers.
As listeners to our podcast know, I do host as a heel. So that was actually the perfect intro. Yeah. I see you do too. What's up, shitheads?
That's just me saying, like, look, you're an asshole for listening. Now that we got that out of the way, I'm gonna talk for another 90 minutes if you're around, but I don't care.
That reminds me, the first CD I ever bought, my dad bought me. I bought the Marshall Mathers LP, and he put it in the his car, like on the way home. And the very first thing is like, this is a PSA. If you fucking bought this CD for your son, you are a piece of shit father, and he deserves to grow up and join a gang, you know what I mean?
Letting you know right off the bat what you'd be expecting, like you're going to have some problems.
We did ruined my relationship with him.
Eminem will do that, man. The real Slim Shady standing up can really fuck your parental dynamics up.
Exactly.
My first CD was maybe Weezer Blue.
Way better choice.
My first CD was like the first CD as well, like because I like had been purchasing tapes already at this point, and then in like 10th grade or 9th grade got my first CD.
I think my first CD was Green Day Dookie. In fact, I know for a fact it was Green Day Dookie.
How do the three of us have the three whitest first albums you can have?
I saw the word Dookie. I was like, oh, this is exactly what I want. And then I saw like dogs in the front. And it just happened to be
Albums just by their names. Like, Sticky Fingers. Sounds fun.
Cody thought it would just be cool sound effects. He was wrong.
Farting and pooping.
Yeah, I wanted to build up my early like reel-to-reel sound effects library as a kid. And I was sorely disappointed.
Went back when you wanted to be a Foley man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Punching chicken, punching raw chicken.
Twisting, and twisting celery.
And yeah, instead of just doing it for fun by yourself.
Yeah.
So the reason I want to have you guys on is early in the quarantine, I messaged Zig here and said, I'm realizing now that anime might be the way for me to scratch my swords and sorcery, might and magic itch. Like I love high fantasy and that element and swords and knights and wizards. And you recommended a few to me, Zig, and I'm all in on Goblin Hunter and I'm all in on Vinland Saga right now.
Yeah.
I fucking loved both of them. And I had watched some of the classic animes that pierced mainstream. Like I had seen like Akira and Wind Ninja Chronicles, Ninja Scroll, whatever. I had seen a few of the big ones and always been like, this is pretty cool. Like I love martial arts. I love animation. So I was always been kind of into it.
Yeah.
But then I kind of fell off. And then this brought me like Goblin Hunter specifically.
Let's go.
I want to talk about this because I messaged Zig and was like, are all animes like this where it feels like a kid's show, but there's also some real perverted shit happening? Like, and it's like casual in a funny way that I was enjoying it. Like, it would be like, the Goblin Hunter, he can save us. And then the wizard would like move and her tits would like heave with her. And I'd be like, how old are the characters in this show?
it's not for the faint of heart. So that's the show where you're like, oh, we're going to go on a fun adventure. We got our class, we got our mage, we got our archer. And then everyone dies at the first 15 minutes and they die brutally. It's not like,
these days. Always subverting expectations and shit. What the fuck?
The goblins are like raping a woman. When they
it's not a fun show. Yeah, yeah, it's not a very you come in and think it's gonna be like a fun RPG romp, but then it gets very serious very fast. You're like, oh, okay, I'm in for a completely different ride.
It's completely kind of mashed together though in a way where it's like it is still a corny like D&D cartoon of like with the wizard's potion we should be able to, but there is a goblin who's like eating a woman's genitals and it's like and then Goblin Hunter puts a fucking sword like in the top of his head and his brains spill out and you're like,
and then you see him like kill a bunch of like baby goblins who like look very cute and innocent and like he has a whole thing where he's like, yeah, they're not bad now, but they could be bad later.
You're grow
like,
up.
Oh fuck.
I wasn't super into like fantasy before, but like post Game of Thrones, everything that involves fantasy is just super fucked up and I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Like, I'm not a fantasy guy as much as I am a fucked up guy. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my issues out on screen. That's what I'm trying to see. Yeah, I was never big like
I'm trying to find my issues via programming. Exactly. No, that's a problem I have. Yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah, that's a trauma I need to get into. Yeah, I was never a big like Lord of the Rings fan. Like, I fucking hated dragons, dude. I was like, give me a dude that turns green or like has a laser. Like, that's what I want. But then I watched Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, all right, I can do this. But like, it hasn't really stuck with me since then. Like, I rewatched Lord of the Rings. And, like, they were fun. Like, I really liked them and stuff. But I was like, it would be so nice. Like, there's nothing that captured the horror of like that when Drogon has that first attack on like the Lannisters like convoy and you're just like, oh yeah, this shit is fucking terrifying. Like, nothing about this is whimsical or fun.
Also, not enough tits in Lord of the Rings. Can I just say that?
Let me see a little furry hobbit tits.
Some hobbit feet. Yeah.
Well, the thing that got a generation of people I know into anime that I might have just been too old when it gained American popularity was Dragon Ball Z.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The entire Toonami block is kind of like the mecca of people getting into anime and like admitting that they like it in the first place. You know, Cowboy Bebop, Gundam Wing was huge for us.
Robotech, Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, what they did, I mean, I fucking, like, I could yell about Adult Swim all day because I fucking loved it in Toonami. But, like, I think a dope thing that they did was they showed all these anime things, but they couched in, like, cool shit. Like, they'd have, like, fucking Flying Lotus and, like, all these, like, dope beats and stuff playing over it. So you're like, oh, shit, like, this is some dope-ass music. So, like, I won't feel like an enormous nerd when I tell my friends to go watch Dragon Ball Z. And then, like, they'll catch some, like, dope hip-hop beats in between, like, the interstitials and shit.
They made it a little cooler. Like, don't worry, it's we're playing it at a party. You're like, then I'm not a nerd for watching. Sick.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't know, but they created the Silver Lake Echo Park hipster scene without even knowing it.
Yeah. It's even more than that. I mean, in 2021, if you didn't already know this, every black person you've ever met is in anime. Even the old heads, they're in anime.
Okay,
I did not want to be like, the one to approach
black
this.
Person, I can agree.
No, yeah.
I didn't want to approach this subject, but that's where I first found out. I could not tell when I joined the cast of Wild and Out, everybody was obsessed with Dragon Ball Z, and I couldn't. My main issue is I'm like one of the only white guys in that show, and I'm like 6 or 7 years older than everyone. Yeah. So I didn't know if it was a black thing or a young thing that everybody was into Dragon Ball Z.
But it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I'm not about to project. Be like, the brothers love Dragon Ball Z. And they're all like, shut the fuck up.
You know what it is? It's because black guys were only allowed to wear 3 different types of cartoon characters on their clothes. And it was Looney Tunes, Fat Albert, and Dragon Ball Z.
That's why. Yeah, Naruto really came in at the end. But like that's really they've had a stranglehold in our culture for like the past 15 years, and like I got no problems with it. I'm a huge fan of it. It is weird being like all that shit that like we watched in high school. I mean, I was like 13, ninth grade, whenever Toonami shit dropped, and like being like, oh my god, this is so cool, no one's into it. And now it's just like the culture now, which I fucking love.
Everyone was like secretly into it. Like they weren't really talking about it.
It's like, why did you lie to me at the lunch table? We could have talked about fucking Vegeta all day. We would have been BFFs.
Yeah, it's like anime, D&D, and improv are like 3 things that's like, I'm actually low-key into it. I just don't want to come out and say it. Whoops, I just reclined my chair by accident.
Oh, yeah.
What's so cool about anime? Like, what do we like about it? What do people like about it? I mean, it's obviously visually stunning. That's like a given. Yep. That's sort of like a par for the course. Doesn't feel like you get a lot of shitty animations. I mean, I'm not as well versed. I'm sure there's some where you're like, this is not that beautiful, but it's fun or funny or
I'll go first, Bree. I'm sure you can jump onto this and have your own thoughts, but like I've always been a fan of like animation, even though I didn't really know it as a kid. But like, you know, I grew up watching like, you know, The Simpsons, Futurama, The Critic, all that shit. So like my idea of animation when it comes to like the West was like, oh, it's, you know, characters have 4 fingers. They don't really do a lot of animation. It's mainly like you're there to facilitate jokes. Like you're there to like have some weird looking character with weird hair say 3 jokes per page and then get to the next scene as Bart puts a toaster in the garage or whatever and Flanders steps on it. Like that's really it. So like the first time I saw like Akira, I was like, oh shit, this is like animation is insane. Like now that like I've had like the DVDs and stuff, I can watch that they'll have like 8 layers of like animated like sales before like for one shot, which is crazy. But like also like serialization, like none of that shit was serialized. Like I remember that my first anime I really got into was Robotech on Toonami. It was like in the future aliens, they find some tech, like they make big robots that transforms. It's like Top Gun, only they could transform into giant mechs, which is like extremely my shit. But like I was watching it and like
you just got me interested on Top Gun robots kaiju or something. I was like,
I'll send you another. There's another show, there's another anime called Mobile Suit Gundam 0080, I think. It's like straight up Top Gun, like aviators, like the glaring 80s guitar rock. You'll fucking love it, dude. But like I was watching that I was watching Robotech, and like it was my favorite character in it. Like I just like this dude who was like the badass. I was like killing everybody. It was like his plane had like a giant skull on it. I was like, oh fuck yeah, this is the dude. And then he died in an episode. I was like, oh, he'll be back next week, but he didn't come back. I was like, oh fuck, like they're like these stories have consequences and like characters don't like make it to the end. I was like, oh shit, that blew my little 13-year-old mind.
Yeah, you didn't grow up watching cartoons going, well, now we'll never see the Wile E. Coyote again. He fell off the cliff. Yeah.
Oh, Homer's going to get his job back next week. You know?
Oh, I wonder what Homer's going to do now that he's fired from the power plant.
If Looney Tunes was an anime, Wile E. Coyote would literally die from running into a canyon, and then there would just be like 5 episodes where like the Roadrunner is just like really sad, just like
in a field running in the desert, like blowing long grass.
Yeah. It's a flashback episode. It's like a clip episode of your greatest hits.
I concur. I got into, for me, it was just regular animation. The first thing I ever wanted to be growing up was like an animator. I like drew a lot. And then I realized how much you had to do it to get good. And I was like, oh, okay I quit. I quit this. But to me, it was just like kind of the same thing. And when people talked about anime as being different, or as like, you know, it's like overly sexualized and stuff, or it was corny or their mouse moved weird. I was just like, yeah, that's a bad thing, or like that's it.
Yeah. Well, you stumbled upon something, because I think what got me into curiosity about anime was I think we were even calling it Japanimation back then.
Sure. Oh yeah, like, I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone had gotten Wind Ninja Chronicles, Ninja Scrolls, that movie. And we watched it, and it has some sexual overtones, and you're like, whoa, this is cool. But then this rock guy sucks, like eats a woman out and kills her. And then like also another dude's hunchback explodes and bees come out. And you're like, this is so fun. And then I think you talking about like, everyone's like, yeah, they're weirdly sexual. And it's like, no, if they're adults. And if it's like if you're cutting the heads off of fucking creatures, that's fucked up an adult as well.
But in
America, it's like G.I. Joe is just like blowing robots away and dropping bombs on islands, and X-Men are just blasting robots with their, and we're all like, whoa. And then it's like we see a woman be like, I am scared for my sexual danger here. And it's like, this is fucked up. It's like, violence is fucked up. Violence is adult, sex is adult. Anime just happens to put both in it.
My childhood was literally ruined by South Park, so there's nothing anime can do for me.
It's funny. It's funny you bring that up. The G.I. Joe's, because I remember when like the Transformers original movie came out, and like they fucking murked everyone in that movie, like all the old cast, and everyone was like, they just fucking kill Optimus Prime. I was like, yeah, dude, like that's like, yeah, the shit hits harder when like it has consequences to the story and stuff.
Also, and that's when Rodimus Prime gets his time to shine. You got the touch.
You got the power. Also, another thing is like, I mean, you know this, Gabriel, because I've yelled about it a lot, but like, I love fucking action movies, especially like Hong Kong, Shaw Brothers, like Chanbar, Japanese, like samurai flicks. Same. Like, all that shit was just like a different version of that, where you can also do it more heightened because you're not bound by the laws of physics. So like you can have you can have like Ninja Scroll, you can have a dude jump through the treetops and then slice a giant rock dude in half with a sword, and then like it doesn't have to worry about like the it's like poetry. It looks so fucking whimsical. Like
so stylized that they like, you're watching something that's it's beyond action. It's like weird.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The choreo is tight. And then on top of it, you get to do so much. And especially in some of like, I think of Dragon Ball Z as I'm not well versed in it, but like you get like, see everybody on a different background of like a dynamic moving background. That's not all shit. You only get that in like Marvel movies. And even then it's just like all digital bullshit. So it's really fun to see like one person be like, let's go. And they have like a red background. The next guy's like, all right, it's blue background. Each draw a different giant weapon. And you're like, yes, please smash them together.
it's a lot more healthy, like on the playground, to get into the type of violence where you're just yelling and then throwing energy at someone rather than like getting into like Call of Duty when you're like 13. Like that's way more destructive.
Yeah. You're less likely to go from anime to the military.
You're not honing your drone strike techniques when you're playing, like when you're watching like
I
Yu
mean
Hakusho.
If the drones turned into robots, then all bets are off, honestly. I'd sign up.
I'm so anti-war and anti-military, but if I got to pilot a Gundam, I'm going. Name the third world country, let's be imperialists.
Where's the oil at, let's go boys.
That's a fun thing. You see it in Dragon Ball Z, and I wonder, and you see it in Goblin Hunter. I wonder how much a part of other animes it is, because it is also going off what Zig said, a tradition from the kung fu movies and stuff of like everyone's training. Everyone's like, no, I'm not ready for the final fight yet. I need to gain level. And as like an RPG head, the idea of like characters gaining levels is like, and that's what I think I like about Goblin Hunter. And I think anime as a genre pulls from video games more than any other cinema or TV like genre. Mm-hmm. So you get to like be like, it works in this world that it's like, now with the extra arm shooter, I'm, you know, more you know, like Mega Man rules. It's like, now I can throw scissors. Like, it's so fucking rad.
Yeah,
and that's like missing in a lot. And There are literally games that you just gain levels. Like, they know the power that has over you psychologically.
Yeah.
So getting to watch, like, Goku train on a certain planet so that he gets his, like, trains at a different gravity so he's even strong. Like, I love stupid shit. Like, I love a training montage. Even if it is fantastical and putting a robot together or whatever, I'm here.
That's a whole genre. Like, I would say, like, you're on this, right? But like shonen anime, like shonen anime is specifically for like 13-year-old boys. Like that's what it translates to, is like young boy, and like all that shit. Like every single one of them has like the training arc where they spend episode after episode after episode just like doing push-ups or like planting the seed or like waxing the window or whatever, and then you see it pay off in the end. But like. Basing off that, like, I love when they have like the gamification of stuff like that. There's a there's one series called Hunter Hunter it's a fun show. Like, I won't even get to it because it's too much, but like
it's a lot to get into.
Yeah, it's too much, but like
the look on both of your faces, you're like, I'm not gonna get into it. Yeah, it's a lot.
Do you have 3 hours?
Every expectation you've ever had.
It starts out really happy, then it gets really dark and you don't see it coming. But like they spend a whole like season, like their equivalent of a season, like in, like literally trapped inside of like a, like an RPG. So like it's all like they have like cards like this does like +7 damage, or this like returns everyone like their one place, or like this acts like this makes you like take less, like 30% damage, less damage on hit for like 5 stacks or whatever. And you're like, the dude that wrote this had to spend so much time just writing out the fucking rules of like what this thing does, like what
it's
this
like particular D&D.
It's exactly like D&D. It's such
a crazy world rules though. I'm here, like,
absolutely,
that's from sci-fi, from whatever, like fantasy, whatever it is. I love world building and world rules, and anime does that well too. And I'm like very frustrated with myself, with my sort of Western narrow viewpoint, that I could have been getting so much more sword and martial arts content via a genre that I was just like, I don't know if that's for me.
Yeah, it's cool. You got so much to catch up on, though.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about like shonen and like seinen anime, which is like adult anime. And that's the kind of stuff that's bled over into the Western world. And we've gotten like things that have gone popular recently are things like My Hero Academia and like Demon Slayer. Those are amazing.
Yeah.
But there's also like in Japan, I've been learning Japanese for the last like 5 years. So I am like constantly consuming this shit so I can, you know, learn and get more fluent. And in Japan, there was so much more anime than just that. There's so much slices of life anime.
Yeah,
there's so
much
like cute stuff, like comedy stuff. And in America, we have yet to give a shit about that yet. We're just like, give me the big guys with the muscles.
Yeah.
And that's just tight. I mean,
it's almost like anime is not a genre, it's a medium. And like, which is not to tie it into other tie this to other garbage, but I wish the Marvel Cinematic Universe looked at comic books, movies as not as a genre, but as a medium, so that it's like,
totally.
Oh, this, like, I just saw Shang-Chi, and I'll give it some credit that it didn't feel like a lot of the other Marvel movies, and it's arguably one of the more enjoyable ones in the last few movies. And then the third act is a little like
the third act, very third Marvel act is heavy. So insane and so. In my opinion, unearned. Like it's fun. It's fun. It makes like, you're like, I have no idea how I got there, but like it goes in that section. It does go full anime at the end. Like it
goes full Marvel movie, which is like the bummer. When you're like, oh, I liked it when it was like Jackie Chan bus stunts, and now it's like fully just
shooting
CGI bananas.
Zig called it Shang Cheap in the group text. Is that right, Zig?
Oh no,
it's really offensive. I can't believe you said that.
No, Feige, if you're listening, I still love you, baby. I'm a company man through and through. Bring me back. I love you guys. I love you, Daddy.
Oh, yeah. I need to play Hercules, but also, come on. There'll be more practical effects in my Hercules Disney Plus show. Let's do it.
Yeah. I've aged out of ever auditioning for Static Shock, so I can talk shit.
Yeah, you're like his older brother now, or like, the one stock photo of him in the future that they get like a background actor to play. Like that's you. Yeah,
you're sciatica Shock. Back issues Shock.
Plantar psychitis.
I didn't even think of that. Of course, in Japan, anime is like, there's probably like every genre of entertainment. There's probably anime sports, anime blank, anime like,
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes total sense.
I switched my VPN to Japan because I was tired of seeing like American commercials like when I'm on YouTube, and the quality of my commercials got so much better.
What are you getting?
I'm seeing like anime for like chips like all the time. I'm just like, this rules. In America, we just have like dudes telling me to shave my balls, and I don't know why that is in my algorithm.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I don't know how that got in my algorithm. Like, I've never searched for like nut shaving paraphernalia or any type of like, I've looked up Theraguns, like that's it, but like I've never got, like, I don't know why I'm getting inundated with, like,
I feel like it's podcast's fault, right?
Oh,
like,
it's, oh,
like,
yeah,
it's definitely. Like if you say the word podcast and then do like a Harold opening, you'll eventually say like, trim your ball hair.
This guy could use some grooming.
This guy's barely holding it together. Yeah, let's let's get his nuts looking right.
Look, there's nothing more personal than your health. So when it comes to finding the right nutrition supplements to meet your fitness goals, you need a personalized approach. And luckily, you've got Gainful, the personalized nutrition system that's formulated for your body and goals. Gainful gives you peace of mind that your protein, hydration, and pre-workout supplements contain the finest ingredients specifically for you. So here's the thing. Gainful has been a delight for me. I love their, I'm drinking the strawberry lemonade electrolyte drink as my electrolyte drink during workouts or long distance and stuff like that. I'm very much enjoying it. The protein powder, where I could change up the flavor because they give you little flavor boosters. So it's like, if you buy a big tub, it's not all chocolate. You can split it between a couple of flavors. So the taste is good. I'm doing too much unhealthy stuff to my body to really prove like a focused study on what it can do for the human body. But do yourself a favor and get started by taking the 5-minute Gainful quiz, put in your dietary needs, goals, and unique physiology, and it'll personalize your formula. Delivers your supplements, no shipping charge every month, cancel or adapt as needed. All Gainful products are formulated by their on-staff registered dietitians. Every Gainful customer gets complimentary one-on-one access to their own registered dietitian. Truly, it's like having a nutritionist that customizes some supplements for you. And they have rigorous quality control. The supplements only have clean ingredients you can pronounce, zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. Start your personalized fitness journey today with Gainful. To get $20 off your personalized supplements, go to gainful.com/mighty. That's gainful.com/mighty for $20 off. Gainful, personalized nutrition made for your tastes. Look, I don't know. If you're anything like me, you're getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts, those people who can just stay online all day and just smoke you. So don't play the experts. You can play the house with Stat Hero. So you don't just watch sports. You can follow every player and player, get the daily fantasy sports book that rewards passion with winning, Stat Hero. So I highly recommend it. They give you a multi-day fantasy survivor contest, all sports, all year long. You see the competition ahead of time. Pick the lineup you think that can beat. Go to head. There's no pool of opponents. I really enjoy this. It really feels like you're going, like you have a shot. It feels like, I can't promise you anything, but it does feel better than being like 1,000 people all taking random swings at lineups and stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about that. So no matter how you play, there's a contest for you. Stop wasting money and give yourself the best chance at winning with Stat Hero. So go to stathero.com/mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y. Sign up for free. And right now you can get 100% bonus match on your first deposit using promo code MIGHTY. They're matching your first deposit. What do you have to lose? Go to stathero.com/mighty and enter promo code MIGHTY for 100% first deposit match. And you can be part of the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. You name your stakes, winner take all. It's a DFS the way it was meant to be. Mano y mano, uno a uno, one on one. Wait, I'm gonna take a sociological hypothesis here and see if I and potentially come across as close-minded racist. So classic, yeah. Gaber's idea, just the classic pitch here. Do you think that some of the stuff that's in anime, like we were talking about, like the training and the honing your skills and getting better, is that like culturally Japanese more than it's culturally American, because I feel like American stuff like that is like, grab the jewel, then you have the power. Put on the ring, get the gamma. And it's like Americans are all quick fixes, no effort. And
it's,
Japanese
it's
culture is like, work on your how to sharpen the blade for like a decade before you can swing it and stuff, like, which is so un-American to like work on.
I can't remember who told me this, but like they were talking about just like story structure in general. They're like, you know, a lot of like US centric or just like, I guess, Western stories are like, you're born with it. Like, you should instantly be good. Like, Rocky runs up the steps and then he punches a couple bags of meat and then like he's ready. Like, it's not like the idea of, or I guess that's why that story works, that like he ultimately loses in like most of those movies. But like traditionally it's like, you're born, you're natural, like you're a natural baseball player, like you're a natural fighter, like that's like an innate thing, as opposed to being like, you should like train, like you don't become good at doing, like I didn't become a good drawer by just drawing once and like it clicked, like you do it over and over and over again. And I think that also
they
speaks-
never forget to tell you that Peter Parker didn't just get bit by a radioactive spider, but he's also a genius, and you're just like, all right, chill.
The spider didn't make him a genius.
Let a dummy like me get bit by the spider.
Let me have the Spider-Man powers. He can do all the inventing and shit. Let me climb and shoot around.
I think it's also another thing that's interesting about those, especially shows like My Hero Academia, where like everyone, like, so if you don't know, it's basically like, it's like their take on X-Men. Like, they go to like a special academy. Mm-hmm. Everyone has like 80% of the world has like superpowers, blah, 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 blah. And they learn to train it. But like their whole thing is that like they're going there to get licenses to be official superheroes. So like there's a whole overarching theme about like, if we can't use our powers. We can't use our powers without asking someone else, we're going to get in trouble. Whereas like it's all about the idea of like the collective good, as opposed to like being the individual with like, and like if that was like, you know, the American version, that would just be like, fuck that, I'm going to use my flamethrower powers and burn up half the fucking school district or whatever.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, like, we both have like hustle cultures, and in there there's like work ethic, and then like once you work hard, you just get to another plateau where you're just like, oh, I'm nowhere near the level I need to be. Now there's another arc of me like working hard. And then in America, a lot of our superheroes are just like, oh, I got powers by some kind of accident. Cool. I guess I have the authority to fight crime now. I guess I don't have to question any kind of moral thing that I have going on.
And I guess I don't have to learn the laws or hand-to-hand combat in any way. I'll just enter the streets and start immediately destroying muggers and like low-level crimes of opportunity that people are doing because they have no other choice in life instead. Wolverine is putting three adamantium claws in your guts because you're just trying to steal bread to feed your family.
Imagine like
that's kind of why I like the show Invincible, which is a comic book written by Brian Bono. I really liked Brian Kirkman, and then now it's a show that everyone loves, and it's kind of like, if when you go out and you try to save people from like alien invasions in the streets, like a lot of people are gonna die and you're gonna have to like deal with that. Like it's like not you know, just all spandex and like laser beams.
Invincible is one of my favorite comics of all time. I remember when they were making The Walking Dead, my wife was working at AMC. And I met Robert Kirkman through her.
Oh, wow.
I was like, dude, huge fan, love The Walking Dead, but I can't wait till you make an Invincible show. And he was like, of course. And I was like, no, I'm like, I love that show. I love that book. I'm so obsessed with that book. He's like, yeah. And then I was like in my head being like, why am I talking? Like, now I'm like a grown up in the entertainment industry. Yeah. I'm like, leave that fucking guy alone. He just came off Comic-Con. I just looked like every other motherfucker at Comic-Con going, I love Invincible, Mr. Kirkman.
Science Dog is my favorite. You should do a Comic-Con.
I wish I was Science Dog.
I mean, I do think it's legit cool to bring up something that like it like is not his most popular work. Because I mean, like, even a bunch of Walking Dead fans didn't even know about Invincible until later. And they're both amazing comics. I was one of those assholes who was just like, oh, the show's good and everything, but the comic book is way better. You know what I mean?
I will say, I fucking loved Invincible. Like, there's two scenes that stick out with me in particular. It's like, one, speaking of like, you know, just going out there, like trying to save people, like when he's getting his ass kicked by Omni-Man and like he gets knocked to that apartment building, and like he's trying to hold it up to save the woman and her kid. And then like it just collapses and like everyone dies. Like that shit fucking hurt. But like when he gets punched into the subway, and like he's usually just like, his dad's using him as just like a steel battering ram to like split that fucking subway in two. I was like,
that's fucking dope. Like, that's just like such an interesting take on like, what if Superman was like getting his ass whooped and like he is like, he is the shield of the city, but also like he could be the sword. Like, he could take out everyone. Like, if someone just used him in the right way, like fucking
yeah,
chef.
If you, if like
in.
Superman was asleep and you had the power to swing him around by his legs, you could like destroy whatever you wanted. Like, you could like he's hard, like, right. Like, he's harder than a wrecking ball. Like, if you swung him by his legs, he should get enough speed to break shit. Yeah. That's, I really dig that about Invincible. It does feel like they were like, well, what if you had limitless strength and speed? Like, what would hand-to-hand combat look like? And I think they do a good job. Of when he pummels Invincible's face into the mountain.
Oh, yeah, that's just straight fucking Dragon Ball Z.
Are you guys also into spanking? Because parents should never abuse their children like that. No. Canceled.
We have a fetish, so it's different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm into spanking if both parties are consensual. As for the parental spank, as a kid who was hit growing up, I'm gonna be the one who breaks the cycle and not hit my non-existing kids. Every other person's like, my dad did way worse to me. Oh, cool.
You're not
as bad as your dad. That's like literally what my dad would say to me. He's like, you don't even know what my father did to me. I'm like, so he was worse than you? Okay.
Yeah, and you're fucked up, dude. Yeah.
That's exactly. I'm like, well, this isn't cool. Oh, sick. Well, guess what? I don't like it, so I'm going to do none of it.
Gotcha.
you don't hit me in the face or with a belt? Sick. You're a hero.
Yeah, dude.
It's open because hands. I acted up in school. You're hitting me? Come on. Think about that, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, because I was being an annoying 7-year-old. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm 7. You should see me at class. Yeah. Talk to my teachers. You'll hit me even more. What was your guys' foray into, like, so the Toonami block is what you guys were referring to?
Yeah, I think my first one was like Robotech. That's what got me into it. Like, the first like anime I saw that was like that a 13-year-old shouldn't have been watching was Akira. Like, I saw that. I begged my mom. She took me to like fucking FYE or whatever it was, and got or Sun Pack, whatever that fucking store was, and she got me the VHS of like Akira. And I got it for my birthday. And like, none of my friends were like, we don't want to fucking watch this shit. Like, I want
to
watch a fucking
movie. Trying to sell your friends on reading? Yeah. Like if you're doing subs v dubs, you're like, guys, it's cool. Yeah. And then the second words come up on screen, your friends are like, what is this shit? And you're like, it's only 2 hours long. Just settle down.
It's only 2 hours long. It's also incomprehensible to begin with. And like,
I swear you can see, you'll see a boob once.
Yeah.
It'll be disturbing, but you'll see one.
It's animated and it's disturbing, but you'll get one. I promise. And that's enough to get my ass in the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, the promise of a possible boobie. I'll watch. I stayed up once I got a TV in my room when I was like 13 or 14.
HBO, dude.
Yeah, it would be like midnight and it would be like,
oh yeah,
brief nudity, and I'd be like, well, I'm edging until the scene in this psychological thriller, and then you end up watching like all these like psychosexual thrillers when you're like 13, and you're like, women are trying to ruin the CEO of this company, and you're like just stroking your dick, being like, please let me get a pop at the end.
Crash. I'm gonna watch Crash. I mean, this is really weird, but I'll choke down Crash. I remember that distinct memory of like when my cousin came over and said, hey, do you want to hang out? You want to go outside and play? I was like, no. What was that movie? One of the guys. She's one of the guys. It's a movie where like this, like you're in high school. This girl.
Just one of the guys. It's okay. She's got tits. Is the line after they kiss.
Yeah. So the premise is like this girl wants to be one of the guys. So she pretends to, she dresses in drag for all of it. And then like the big pivotal scene is like, she's confessing her love to like her best friend that she's met. But he's like, oh, it's the 80s. We're like, ooh, gay. No, I don't want to do that at all. But then she flashes him and he's like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. And they kiss or whatever. But like, I remember as a kid, like, that was the first pair of boobs I saw on TV. I was like, I told my cousin, like, yo, I can't hang out. I know there's a boobs like an hour into this movie. So like, I'll catch you afterwards.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. Dude, killer set on. She's got a great pair too. And Johnny Lawrence, Billy Zabka is the bad guy in that movie fingerless white weightlifting gloves. That's burned into my head as like the coolest thing you can have is like.
Yeah, he's your main idol, right? Like that's what you fasten yourself after.
I definitely wore fingerless leather gloves in like eighth grade to school based solely on like Streets of Rage and fucking characters like that. Yeah. And because
that's a much better reason than everyone else wore fingerless gloves because they like Jackson. Skellington and they wanted.
Oh, so yes.
The Hot Topic glove.
Yes. I eventually would meet people who wore like the Hot Topic gloves or cut the thumb hole in their long sleeve shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
But the fingerless gloves I was wearing were leather weightlifting like mesh gloves, like, and
yeah,
I was like the only ninth grader who like was wearing gloves like that to school, or eighth grader, and reading Muscle and Fitness magazine. It was like,
oh yeah, did you wear a bandana too and like ripped tank top?
Now I do. Now yeah, yeah. I really do dress like a fucking
full Vasquez.
Full case.
Why is he punching yeah. barrels in the playground? Yeah,
he just found a turkey.
I guess he's looking for meat. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's got no shirt but one strap on, and he. Yeah. I remember in Streets of Rage that when Hagar would turn left or turn right, the strap on his chest would jump yeah. to the shoulder. That was short, and I was just like, as a kid, realizing yeah. the animation logic is off here. The continuity is wrong.
Yeah, I had,
like,
yeah.
Leo,
I get it. Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio meme of like. Oh,
I like to think he was fixing the strap really fast every time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
also, gonna... Hagar was the mayor of the city and a pro wrestler. Just point that out.
Look, he got his hands
on.
Dirty. He wasn't afraid. He was just afraid to sit in some fucking Ivy Tower. He got down there and beat the streets. You know,
it's really funny imagining him. You're like, what a weird character, a mayor who's a huge bodybuilder. Yeah. And you remember who the governor of California was?
Yeah.
For like, you're like, yeah. Yeah. Wait, can we talk about Arnold for 1 second? Homie sure. was a Republican, and he's now got like the best politics of anyone his age. Like, he's the only person who's like developed in a good way. Like, everyone yeah. else is like further and further right. Any one of your like action heroes mm-hmm. you love growing up,
yeah.
they're just Arnold is like, I worked in Republican politics and I'm yeah. moving away from the right.
Yeah, isn't like, yeah. is even Steven Seagal like a Russian national now? Isn't he like
Steven Seagal is like a
he's whatever, yeah, whoever will support him, whatever. Proud Boys get behind him. He's just like, sure, whatever. I'm too tired to do anything.
Brody, I know you've seen this. Have you seen that picture of him eating a carrot, Brody? That gif of him
eating a
carrot. I'm sure I have.
Eating a full Bugs Bunny carrot. It's so fucking funny.
Someone gave it to him at like he was meeting with like these intense ass whatchamacallit. Oh, I don't have. Oh, I downloaded the new Zoom and lost all my old backgrounds, including Seagal eating a carrot. So I was trying to get it up in time. But he hangs out with like despot strongmen. Like it's like, oh, the Belarusian dictator is giving Seagal a tour of his farm. And it's like,
yeah, if you ever see like, yeah, if you ever see like demonstration videos that he's done recently, it's just like a bunch of people who like very sycophantantly or at least are getting paid to like do flips whenever he touches yeah. them to make him look like he's a real badass.
Yeah. His martial arts demonstrations look like me and Zig dapping each other up in the Earwolf hallway. It's just like two yeah. doughy men kind of colliding yeah. casually.
Yeah. His like gi isn't even fashioned. It's like his fucking chest meets all out.
His yeah. he's fully Grimace. Like he's like he's got Grimace's build now. He's got like substitute teacher ass, you know? And he's just like fully
with that terrible toupee that's like way it's blacker than black. It's
yeah, just spray painted on yeah. like Eddie Munster fucking widow speak and shit.
Man, it's so funny.
What are some tropes from anime that we're now seeing? Are there any tropes from anime or ideas from anime that we're now seeing stolen for like mainstream culture or mainstream entertainment in any way?
Ooh, I mean, speaking of Shang-Chi, like I'd say, I mean, that entire like the like the last 50 minutes of that third act. I mean, I don't want to. Can we spoil it? I don't want to spoil it. There's a.
I haven't seen it yet.
Do you care? I won't spoil it.
Though, I don't care, but I haven't seen it yet, so I can't add.
Okay, well I'll spoil it then. So this is your spoiler warning. Fast forward however long.
Yeah, so like, or don't ever listen to my podcast again if you have issues.
Yeah,
with
yeah, you fucking nerd.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Losers.
So yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. I mean,
When this episode comes out, Shang-Chi will have been out for like 9 days. And if you yeah. still okay. care about spoilers, then you yeah. should have seen it by now.
Yeah,
or you
absolutely.
Should not listen to podcast. Like,
yeah.
I know that. I'm like, oh, this movie's been out for 2 weeks. I'm not allowed to expect. What? Like, I used to yeah. DVR the Giants games on Sundays because I mm-hmm. taught improv or took improv on Sundays for forever. And I would DVR the game. And then one day I would try not to get it spoiled by seeing another game, seeing a highlight. So I'd have to like do some tunnel vision. One Sunday I wore a Giants jersey stupidly to go teach improv. And then I'm walking back to the subway and someone's like, 31:30, crazy, huh? And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, no, this is my fault. It's Sunday. Yeah, I'm wearing a Giants jersey. Mm-hmm. I deserve to hear that.
Yeah. So Brody, I'll catch you up. There's a in the third act, they go to like this mystical land and like they awaken like a dragon, which like it looks, I mean, it's a traditional dragon, like like Shenlong if you watch Dragon Ball Z, which is like cool. Like they do like a thing where like in the opening of Dragon Ball where like the dragon's flying and like the kid's running beside it, like that's really cool. But like at the end he fights like an evil dark dragon, and like there's a moment where he like goes flying up into the sky. Like,
this
like
is
Goku.
So anime. Yeah.
It's so, I mean, it's fucking
this
cool.
This sounds
shit.
Like Ninjago to me. This sounds like Lego Bionicles.
Yeah. It's wild. It comes out of nowhere. But like, he like shoots down like the 10 rings that he's taken power of. They're orange now because they're good. And his dad had them in their blue because they're bad. Color theory. So like, he shoots him into the dragon and like he's floating down like the waters, like the rain shooting over his body. And then he starts doing
a kata.
He's doing a kata in the air. And, like, he shoots down the final thing and like it blows up in giant explosion. And you're like, oh, I've seen this fight scene a million times in every anime, but it's so fucking cool seeing it in live action.
Like, yeah, I put live action in quotes there because everything else is digital, but Shang-Chi himself is live soaring down.
And we've like officially reached the point where if someone wanted to do a live action Dragon Ball Z, they really truly could make it like really good. Yeah. And then I saw like Zack Snyder wanted to make one. I'm like, oh, not you though. Not you at all. Like,
finally, it's Vegeta's like watching his family get murdered or some shit. You know, it's like, it's too real. It's like,
No one's
this
having
way
fun.
More fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goku's got a drinking problem.
Oh, that's he actually hates fighting in this one. It's not as fun. Another thing is that you guys saw Skull Island, Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's the guy that directed that is a huge, he's doing like the new Gundam movie. He's a huge anime fan. But like the shot where like you first see Kong like in silhouette against like the giant sun, like in the back, like that's taken directly from this anime called Neon Genesis Evangelion, where like there's a very similar scene where like a giant robot is like coming and like you sit silhouetted in like the setting sun. It looks fucking dope as fuck. But he's like, yeah, this is a direct one from one. Like I took that from that because I love that series. Like that's my homage to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you can do it with The Matrix too. Like there's like five scenes that are directly from like iconic anime and stuff.
Any of like Darren Aronofsky's movies, he ripped off Perfect Blue for like Black Swan or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
And even what was it, Paprika and the dreams inside Inception? Like a lot of that of that imagery was taken from
every cool American director just secretly watches anime and tries to act like we never have heard of it.
Scorsese, I'm picturing Scorsese watching a bunch of anime.
Scorsese, he famously loved Sailor Moon, so like that's gonna be his last picture.
That'd be honestly sick. Robert De Niro CGI'd as Tuxedo Mask. That'd be awesome.
That would be fucking sick.
Yeah, but de-aged to make him look like a young 80-year-old like he did in The Irishman as he fails to kick a man on the ground. Yeah.
Wait, talk to me about Neon Genesis Evangelion or whatever it's called.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. That's one I've been seeing a lot of people talk about lately because mutual friends, Heather Ann Campbell and How Did This Get Played? People have been talking about it a shit ton. You guys talk about it.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite directors, Hideaki Anno, is behind that. And just for context, like, for example, like in America, we got Power Rangers like late 90s, right? In Japan, they've been doing versions of that show since we've been having like old school Batman. Like they've been having it for like decades and decades. They've been had like all these like metal heroes and like all this kinds of stuff. On top of doing stuff like Godzilla and, you know, Ultraman. Mothra and like Gamera, Ultraman, like all that stuff is called tokusatsu. And which basically just means special effects. Hideaki Anno is a huge fan of that. He's the anime director behind Evangelion, and recently he's done stuff like Shin Godzilla, which a lot of Godzilla fans see as like the best Godzilla movie. He's doing like an Ultraman movie that's gonna he's gonna do a Kamen Rider. These are like the top three like
IPs.
Franchises in Japan. And Evangelion came out in the 90s, and it was a mecha show that wanted to subvert what mecha shows were doing, because we already had like Gundams and stuff like that. We already had people making money off of selling toys for stuff, and this guy was just like, I want to make a version of that where the main characters are just like depressed as hell bad Nigh stuff unlikable. Happens.
There's a consequence,
and it's like, succeeded.
Yeah, there are consequences to having a 14-year-old kid get inside a giant military piece of equipment and hardware. Like this, like what I love. Speaking of subversion, like the first episode is like the kid shows up. All these owl mech anime starts the same. Like a 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid shows up in the middle of a battle and like gets this robot. Like that's what happened. You get the Gundam, you get the Ava, you get whatever. This one, the kid shows up, Shinji, the main character, shows up. He gets whisked away, he gets put into the robot, and then he goes into the fight. And then it cuts to him waking up in the hospital like the very next shot. Like you don't even see him get to the fight. You're like, yeah, he got his fucking ass whipped. Like that's what would happen if you were to actually put a 14-year-old kid inside the and inside the series. And like the rest of the series is like a really big deconstruction of one. Like one, every single type of trauma you could ever possibly think about in the actual show. Like everyone has their own problems that they're dealing with. Like all these kids, like only like 13-year-old or 14-year-old kids can like pilot these things. Like that's what's built into like the lore. Yeah. There's a lot of shit that they're unpacked. But
imagine
like,
if like you saw Power Rangers and then like they did an episode or something where like Billy was like shooting up heroin or something like that. Then they just had like a really serious episode of like that's where and they didn't even fight. Like that's what Evangelion is like.
But the reason then, it's back is because the series was 26 episodes. And it ended on like a very weird, surreal. The last episodes are very weird and surreal.
The director had a mental like breakdown basically, and then the last couple episodes are also a mental breakdown.
It goes from like picture locked animation to like animatics to like stills, so, like not even synced like pictures. Like it's very, very experimental. Like the animation is dope, but like fans were like, "What the fuck is this?" Like nothing got wrapped up. Like it ended on like a very big cliffhanger. Like we need to see an ending to that. So they were like, "All right, we're gonna give you a movie," and they gave you a movie like 2 years after that. That also. It wrapped up some stuff, but it left on an even bigger cliffhanger. So they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make 4 movies that are going to be like retellings of this. Wink, wink, the retellings. And like, we're going to release those. So like, they released like 4 of those over the past, like what, 10, 15 years? And like the last one just came out this year.
They're called The Rebuild. That's why the dialogue is heavy around it, because the fourth movie that's explained.
Yeah,
it just dropped.
And like, it wrapped everything up and like, I think a very beautiful way and the best way that it possibly could. But then also, it's just like some fucking amazing animation. Like there's a scene that I always yell about where like there's a character's like on top of another character, like beating the shit out of them. And it's like a handheld shot where like you're following them as they're like doing it. And you're like, how the fuck did they do this? And like, I think what they did is that they just did a 3D model and then they like mapped over like 2D animation over it. So you could have like a camera floating around. And like, I fucking love animation shit like that. Like
that's awesome.
Yeah. It's so fucking cool.
That's
like
fucking rad,
it may not make it. It barely made sense when I was watching it, but I was like, the animation is fucking undeniable. Like I can't even fault the animation.
I request you DMing me or messaging me what I have to watch first for Evangelion.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I got you, dude. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Just start with the first episode.
That's what I figure, but I'm worried. Oh, dude, you're watching Neon Genesis? No, that one's backwards. You gotta know this is the one. You know, like, oh, I'm
yeah.
a fucking idiot.
There's all kinds of people who will say you should like you could like skip this, or you like, oh, there's an abridged version of this episode that's better. Fuck that. I watched all of Evangelion one weekend with my best friend when I was 15. He had a box set. We ate chicken fingers and we sat in his room. We watched the whole thing. Yeah. And we went to school on Monday fucking depressed, and that's the way you should do it.
You gotta. There's only
that's
one
way. That's
a
full experience.
Well, I look forward to being depressed upon finishing the series. I need that in my life. Yeah. Things are too good in America right now.
You're too put together right now.
Well, before we get out of here, let me ask this question. If any of the shitheads, the mouth-breathing listeners of this podcast who aren't into anime yet, first off, respond to the tweet about this with the anime you guys like, because that listeners, because I'm taking recos. But for the uninitiated, what would you recommend to some people to as their first foray in, whether it be movie or TV series, whatever it might be? Yeah,
you want to go first, Birdie, or you want me to go?
If you're just looking to see kind of like that. an anime that has a little bit of everything, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of action, and really impressive animation, I would check out at least the first season of a show called Mob Psycho. Mob Psycho 100. It came out a couple years ago. The story's really fun. It's mostly about these two characters. One of them is like a really powerful psychic boy who is like really unpopular at his school, and he wants people to like him, but he doesn't want it to be because of the powers. So he just like tries to like start working out and stuff anyway, and like tries to like be a better person. And then his, I guess I want to say like manager, who is this spirit detective who does not have any kind of powers at all and is only interested in exploiting this kid. And there's a lot of fun fights in it. There's a lot of fun jokes in it. And the animation switches up all the time. It's beautiful. There's a lot of cool stuff going on. What about you, Cody?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I have two. I think if you want to see something that's like just a blueprint that influenced like just but not only a bunch of anime but just like Western cinema in general, Ghost in the Shell, the original animated Ghost in the Shell.
Oh yeah.
If you're into like film noir, if you're into like Blade Runner or any of that shit, like this was like the archetype. Like particularly, obviously, like the newer Blade Runner, but like it's great, great, fantastic animation. A really cool story, some really great choreography when it comes to like not even like fight scenes, but just like the cinematography in it is fantastic. Like,
yeah, it's funny to say that about an animated thing, but the cinematography in that movie is wild. Cinematography in Akira is wild too.
Both of those I highly recommend. But also, if you're looking for like something that's like a sampler, check out Robot Carnival. It's like a it's like a 1987. It's like a like an anthology film with like basically a bunch of dope like animation directors at the time making a bunch of shorts, like people that did like Akira, people that did, you know, Ghost in the Shell, all that stuff, like a bunch of fun different types of stories. Like you'll have like some action stuff, you'll have some like quiet slice of life stuff, you'll have some humor, you'll have some comedy. Like it's fun. I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think I watched it on there a couple of years ago, so like definitely check those two out.
All right.
Yeah, and I also suggest going to X Videos and typing in hentai, and you can find a lot of cool anime for free.
Yeah,
if you're a perv.
Yeah, you know, search my Twitter feed if you're looking for a lot of X Videos hentai. Yeah. I'm currently watching Vinland Saga. I'm on episode 15, and I'm fucking loving it. Some episodes are mad slow and like introspective and talking about like Danish and British land rules and stuff. But then some other episodes has a fucking 9-year-old with two daggers slitting motherfuckers' throats. It's so fun. The violence is great. And there's something about in Vinland Saga, which they're like Viking adjacent, even though but it's fun to watch blonde Viking guys speak Japanese. I don't know why. It's just something that like your brain, like I literally told my wife, I'm like, just come in and watch 1 minute of this and just watch like blonde Scandinavian dudes just screaming in Japanese. It's like, it's just something you don't catch anywhere else. And it just looks so, it looks so fucking rad. And it's that I like, the thing I like about it is like they have a lot of like warrior code shit, which I'm always a fan of.
Yeah,
it's like,
Thorfinn
is a good fighter. I will I look forward to fighting him again.
Yeah. I think a lot of the reason for that is like samurais literally come from their culture and they just have that honor shit like really baked into their like most interesting era of history period. So
Dudes, thank you so much for coming on High and Mighty.
Yeah,
I now have like a long list of adult animation to watch. My wife does not like shows that yell while she's asleep, and that's when I watch like most of my own programming between 10:30 and 1 a.m. after she's fallen asleep on the couch before I go, babe, we should go to bed. But I can't watch Vinland Saga or Rick and Morty, to shout out Zig while we're talking here, because it's just too much yelling. And she's like, I don't want to hear yelling when I'm asleep. So that's when I go in my office and I'm just like, now I'm smoking weed. I'm 40 years old. I'm in a room with the door shut, smoking weed, watching Vinland Saga at like full volume. And my wife comes in and is like, don't you have any work to do today? I'm
like, I am
Vinland
doing work.
Saga's for work. I'm talking to my friends about anime later.
This is
tonight.
Research. Yeah.
Yeah.
everything's justifiable in this stupid ass career of mine.
Yeah, but if it makes you feel better, every other 40-year-old I know is doing that too. I mean, yeah, me too. So.
Yeah, they don't have wives, so like you're already a step ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. Tell my listeners a little bit about your podcast or whatever else you guys want to plug. Go nuts. But I know you guys also.
Yeah,
have a
our podcast is essentially a version of what this was for an hour. We just talk about new stuff that's come out. We talk about video games that we like to play. We didn't even scratch the surface of video games. We talk about Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. We talk about writing, and we talk a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Now, is weeb a term? Is that like a vocab word,
yeah,
or is that? Or am I saying a slur and you guys are like, only we can really say that?
It's this weird term that came up in the last, you know, like 20 years to like describe people who were like geeks or into anime. It was like a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. I guess it was mostly for white people, to be honest. But yeah. We mostly use it because it's a cool name for a podcast. I mean,
it's a great pun. It's a great pun. And then if you just like, you know, do a little bit of work, there's some layers to dark weeb.
Yeah. We're used to taking the power back in words anyway, so we might as well do weeb too.
Yeah. It's basically us yelling at about shit that we love for 40 minutes, and then it's also we are not on a network, so we put it out when we fucking want to put it out. So that's another great thing. It's like don't come in expecting us to have an episode out every week, because we're not gonna do that, baby. But like when we do drop episodes, they're gonna be great. So
honestly, what I need more of in life is episodes of podcasts that don't come out weekly. Like Reply All, one of my favorites. Yeah. I don't know their schedule. QAnon Anonymous, I don't understand their schedule either. So I love it. It's always a surprise when I have.
Always.
You know what I mean? I'm gonna start subscribe to Dark Weeb right now and just wait for the next one to come in and be like, it's just a fucking roulette.
Yeah, the best thing will be a surprise for all three of us. So
we like to wait until someone on Twitter complains, like, oh man, wish these guys would release more episodes. I guess they're on hiatus or something, and we're just like, psych, bitch. You know, like, here's that.
You just reply with like a spite episode you recorded for that one person.
Essentially,
this is for fucking.
Yeah,
this is for
wrong,
real nigga
bitch.
Goku
we
420.
Right.
We're back. Yeah. We're talking about fucking Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Thanks for coming. You guys will be tagged in this. So reply with your anime recs. I'm sure these guys know them. But if you have any other anime related questions, hit us on Twitter. We will mostly ignore it. and also probably only one or two people will respond anyway. Yeah. So sorry to you too. Sorry to that man. Yeah. I do not know you. Dudes, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks
for
having
us. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!